Blog Talk Radio.
Psalms 22, 23, and 24 are called the Shepherd Psalms. Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm about the crucifixion. The Hebrews did not practice crucifixion. In this psalm, we learn a very important truth. We learn that Jesus died upon the cross for you and me. I want you to pay careful attention to the beginning of the psalm. That is the first verse. I want you to think about these words of Jesus. Quote, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me and so far from the words of my groaning? In the Hebrew, the word is roaring. And it depicts the lion's roar. And so in verse 1, we have the repetition of intensity. And we also have the possessive pronoun my before the noun my God, my God. And so these are the words that Jesus shouted from the cross. And I also want you to note that Jesus voluntarily surrendered his spirit. Man did not take his life. He voluntarily surrendered his spirit. Even the very hour that he would be taken by the temple police was foreordained in eternity past by God himself. When the temple police went to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, they asked him who he was, and Jesus identified himself. We read that they fell back when they reached out to take him because they could not lay hands upon him until that very precise, strategic, epochal moment that was divinely foreordained or preordained by God the Father in eternity. Hallelujah. Jesus shouts, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because it was at this point that he was made sin for the world. He was made sin for us. Think about that. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Impeccable, he became sin for us as he hung upon that cross. He gave his life for you and me. This is Jesus. He is God's eternal plan. Jesus spent 30 years practicing or training for 3 years of ministry, or some may say 3.5 years. And Jesus shouted, Tetelestai, or it is finished. Now notice, he shouted Tetelestai, and then he voluntarily surrendered his spirit to the Father. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus shouted a victory cry. He did not expire or give up or give out as a human being would. He was God Almighty. And notice in this verse, we read, why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my roaring, the lion's roar? Then as we go on in this psalm that talks about his his passion and his crucifixion, we see some very compelling truths. He says in verse 12, many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouth wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. So these are words depicting his terrible agony. He writes, and then he says, my heart has turned to wax. A Roman soldier took a spear and thrust it into the pericardium, that is the sac around the heart. And in 1 John we read, out came forth water and blood. The heavy mallet, the crucifragium, which was used to break the large bones in the legs of those who had been crucified, was not used on Jesus. These things were not used, this thing was not used upon him at all. He writes, and then in verse 15 we read, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, depicting his thirst. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. There is a cult that says that the wrists of Jesus were pierced and not his hands. But the word of God states, and here we have it, Jesus said, they have pierced my hands and my feet. The Roman nails that were used on Jesus were 5 to 7 inches long and approximately 3/8 of an inch in diameter. The beginning of verse 17 reads, I can count all my bones. Now I'm going to Isaiah. Isaiah says these very poignant words about the person of the Savior. This is Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50 verse 5 reads, the Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks, this is verse 6, to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the Sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near, and we will see the vindication of his messianic claims at his resurrection. Then we go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 14 reads, this is Isaiah 52, 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, listen carefully, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So there are those who want believers to sleeve in this sacred shroud of Turin, the sacred shroud of Turin. And they want to say that this is what was placed over Jesus. Now, please note that the face that's imprinted on this shroud is not in any way disfigured or malformed. The scripture tells us that his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. I want you to follow the word of God and believe the word of God. The Bible tells us that a napkin was placed about his head, and there is a separation between the napkin placed about his head and then the rag that had been placed around his body. And he was prepared. This was the Jewish manner of preparation of those who had died. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus died, aorist tense. Jesus was buried, aorist tense. And he rose again, perfect tense. Resurrection, Luther, means anastasis nekron, that is, the standing up again, or the standing up of the body. If you would read carefully the gospel accounts of his resurrection and its post-resurrection appearances, you will see, you will have adequate evidence to believe in the resurrection. You will have adequate proof that Jesus rose again from the dead. You will have the knowledge that you need in order to believe that Jesus died for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day for your justification. The horror of crucifixion, the horror of being made sin for the world was for you and me. God did this. For God so loved the world that he gave as a gift his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. God let his Son die for you. God gave his Son for you. You can be washed clean of your sins. You don't have to be under the guilt of your sin. You don't have to wonder, what is this life about? What is the meaning of this life? I want to tell you right now, it is knowing God through the person of Jesus Christ. It is believing that Jesus gave his life for you. It is believing that he died. He was buried and he rose again for you. At this moment, at this very moment, you can go before God. Please read 1 Corinthians 15. Believe the gospel. Believe the good news about Jesus. Believe who he is and receive a brand new life. I mean, in the scripture, the scripture means a qualitatively new life. Real life. God will clean you, wash you, make you new. God will give you a life that is so wonderful that it is beyond words. God will bless you. God will give you what you need if you come to him through Christ Jesus today. What a wonderful life it is. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.